Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And if this is your first time listening into the How Now podcast, welcome in. Make sure that you go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also scroll to the bottom of the page, click on the banner for this week's show, and it'll take you to the How Now YouTube channel where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there also. You can check out my playlist for my Tuesday Tuesday where I share a scripture every week, and you can also see what's happening in my now. Okay, again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into today's show where we are going to be talking about CRPS, which stands for Complex Regional Pain Syndrome. You know, people throw around acronyms like everybody's supposed to know what they mean, you know, and there are different acronyms for different things. But we are going to be talking about Complex Regional Pain Syndrome. It's something that was new to me. And, you know, I love this platform for the fact that we can learn about things that we don't know about. Because when we know better, we do better. When we know what to look for and how to look for it, then we can better advocate for ourselves and for our health. And to help me to talk about this syndrome is my lovely guest to my left or to your right or whichever direction you're sitting in. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time.
Hi, my name is Lydia Dennis. I am a full-time nomad. Me and my husband travel the U.S. and do different seasonal jobs throughout. I love hiking and gardening when I had a garden, and just being out in nature and seeing all of God's creation is amazing. And also, I started selling I became a salesperson with Green Compass as well, which is, we'll talk about that a little later.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So glad to have you. So glad to connect with you again. Lydia and I had an opportunity to meet each other several years ago, and we were just like, when was it again? You know, I mean, you just meet people, but you don't lose touch, and then you pick up where you left off when you reconnect. It's one of those situations. And so it's wonderful to see you again and to, you know, to see you sitting still for a moment. You know, she said she's a nomad. So, you know, you would expect to hear, you know, or see the wind blowing behind her. But here she's situated long enough for us to sit down and have a conversation about this very, complex. We want to say it's a syndrome. I try to stay away from the word disease, you know, because sometimes it's a dis-ease. And we just need to learn more about it. So let's start out first with talking about what was going on prior to your diagnosis with this complex regional pain syndrome.
So first of all, we were working the beet harvest, the sugar beet harvest, which was, we had worked it previously. And my husband was like, do you want to work it again? And I said, sure. So we went to Wyoming to work it. So we were actually on the job site. And what happens is you have these big 18-wheelers that come up to unload the beets. So the truck had pulled forward to pick up its dirt after it had shifted all of the beets. And I went on the platform as usual, and I am picking up the beets, putting them back on to the conveyor belt after the scoop was lifted up. Well, as I was walking across, the truck started backing up. And I was like, okay, so I've got to like move pretty quick. So as I started moving, I couldn't tell if he could see me or not, because some of these truck drivers are a little crazy when they drive. And then we're in a big field where they bring them. And so I was walking across, and as I'm walking across, I'm trying to get around to move. And the operator misjudged where I was standing, and the scoop came down upon my foot. I felt the pain instantly, but then it kind of went numb a little bit, and then my foot started swelling up. And so it was like they said it was a crushed injury. So I was like, okay, it's a crushed injury. I went to the hospital. The guy was like, it's broken. They did x-rays, nothing was broken. He was like, go home, elevate it as high as your head. And once the swelling goes down by Monday, you should be good. And I thought, well, okay, this is interesting. Like this 500-pound plate hit my foot. First of all, let me just say God is good because
Yes.
nothing got broken.
Right.
And then over time, a friend of mine, she was like, Lydia, it's not getting any better. Like the swelling isn't going down. Don't you think you need to go see a podiatrist, not a podiatrist, excuse me, an orthopedic? And so I did. And so that doctor, now they have a gatekeeper for everyone. So
Okay.
I did not know that he was actually a specialist in hands until later, but I went to him. They did another x-ray and he was like, we're going to wait 2 weeks and then we will do an MRI. And by this point, it's like, I don't know, almost a week maybe, or it was a week. And I thought, this is kind of crazy, but okay, whatever, we'll wait this period. It's no big deal. And so it started hurting. Like I had went to him, I think on a Wednesday, it started hurting. I ended up in the ER. I had to drive an hour and a half to get to like
Oh my.
civilization to go to the doctor's office. And when I got there to the ER, I was like, listen, my foot is hurting really bad. I wanted to see if you guys could go ahead and do an MRI since I'm here. Well, that ER doctor was like, no. He pretty much did not want to touch me. He did not even want to take an x-ray. He did not want to do anything because it was workers' comp. And he was like, you're going to have to go to your doctor if you need anything done. And I thought, well, this is kind of crappy. So I asked him, I said, for the pain. And by this point, my foot had started really hurting. When I would step on the outside of my foot was hurting. And I kept thinking, is something broken, you know, because it just felt that way. Well, he's like, no, you go right to the doctor that you went to and he will, you know, prescribe you something. And I was like, well, can you at least give me some pain meds? So they gave me 12 pills and I went home. And I tell you what, with complex regional pain syndrome, pain medicine doesn't work. It does not work. It doesn't even remove the pain. It's like the pain is still there. It just makes you drowsy. So I got the medication. I went home. And that following Monday, I called the doctor's office and I insisted the doc. Well, actually, I think it was that following week, I think. I called them and I said, I need him to order an MRI. And she's like, oh, he's out of the office. We'll turn around and find out. The man was actually elk hunting. And there was nobody else to sign off for an MRI except for him, I guess. So I had to insist on them doing it sooner than they said. So I actually called up the MRI place and I was like, I need you to go ahead and put me on the books. Today's Monday. By Wednesday, he'll be back in the office and he'll have you the piece of paper so that I can come there and I can get it done. So finally, they got it ordered and I went in for the MRI and my foot was black and blue by this point because I had actually taken castor oil and wrapped it in it thinking I would try to, you know, bring whatever to the surface that needed to come to the surface. Went in, got it done, and he calls me finally days later and he's like, it looks fine, everything looks fine, there's nothing torn, we're not really sure what's going on. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna send you to our foot specialist that does surgery, he doesn't see anything, but I'm gonna send you to him. And I was like, okay, they put me in this post-op shoe, first of all, that was just giant, did not fit,
Oh, no.
terrible. So I went into this other doctor, and I'm going to tell you what, I would love, love, love to confront this man. Because when I went in, he was like, I said, the sheet, it was cold during this time. It's October in Wyoming, so it's getting cold. The sheet to touch my foot would actually hurt it, and it burned. And I told them, I said, it does feel that way, even to touch it, my husband to even like rub anything on it. And I kept thinking it's because of the bruising. You know, they said it was soft tissue, like something is off. But anyway, so he told me it was normal to let them know. He gave me gabapentin, which if you do not know anything about
Oh my God.
gabapentin, That is actually for people with epilepsy.
Yes. I have been prescribed gabapentin as well and stopped taking it because I was like, this is not working. And yeah, it's something that they give you for I have spinal stenosis. So they give it to you for a nerve supposed to help with the pain. It doesn't. It doesn't. Okay.
But anyway, I didn't know at the time what it was. And so I told a friend of mine and she was like, they gave you gabapentin. I know exactly what that is. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it made me feel drunk and it tore up my gut health, went to the toilet. I stopped taking it. I only took it periodically. And then we started making our way to Texas. When we got to Texas, I found an orthopedic and I ran into a lady in Home Depot and she was like, how long have you been in this, you know, boot? By then they had put me in an ankle boot. And I was like, well, I've been in it this long. And she's like, you know, I think you should go. And it was here in Texas. She was like, I think you should go to such and such doctor here in Round Rock. And he'll get you fixed up. And I thought, well, okay. So to find someone who takes workers' comp, first of all, is kind of a challenge.
Wow.
So I called their office and it was like the gatekeeper hell, excuse my language, but it was like, can I please get an appointment? And they were like, no, you have to get an approval. It's all this stuff. Meanwhile, Wyoming is like, you choose your doctor. They bill them. They pay the bill. They don't ask any questions. It's that way. So I had to go to an orthopedic and the orthopedic, he looked at me and he said, there's nothing broken. There's nothing torn. I'm going to have you meet with another person who specializes in, you know, like they can give you other pain medicine that would help. And I thought at this point, it's kind of like I'm in a 3D movie, if you will. So then I'm like, this is doctor number three. What? Okay. So I go to doctor number four and she's like, so I'm going to do a test on you. She doesn't even tell me the name of the test. And by the way, it is called the Budapest criteria. So she says to me, she says, I'm going to do a little test on you. So she's like pressing on my foot, asking questions. My foot at the time was freezing. So if you've touched my left foot and my right foot at different times, the temperature is like extreme. Either it can be burning hot or it can be freezing cold. So I'm sitting there and she's like, well, you have what we believe to be. And she rattled it off. And I'm just sitting there like, I don't think I'm hearing her right. Like, this is somebody else's life, right? So she writes down and she's like, well, I would like to give you an antidepressant to see if it would help you. And so the antidepressant, I was like, I'm not going to take it. Like, I tried, it doesn't help. Like, I'm not going to do it. So anyway, she's like, we're going to see if we can get workers' comp to approve you to get a lower lumbar nerve block. And she gave me paperwork on it. And I was like, I don't think I want to do this. Like, this seems like you're trying to thread a needle through a little bitty nerve. Like, how is that even possible?
Wow.
And so I thought about it. It took them 2 months to get the approval. We had moved from Austin down to San Antonio for my husband to work in the radio. I was driving from San Antonio to Austin to get my physical therapy because I had started it by then. I had started seeing a podiatrist. I won't even go into the nightmare with him. But anyway, he was like, we have to get the inflammation out of your foot and we have to do the scar tissue. So he started giving me rounds of steroids, injecting them into my foot. And I was doing physical therapy. So this whole time I started researching it. And let me just tell you, the research I found and talking to other people who have been suffering for like 11 to 15 years or however long, it all boils down to your nervous system is super sensitive. And it just took it. And I don't even know exactly what caused my nerves to be super sensitive. But looking back over my life, I'm like, it makes sense now because you live in a flight or fight state the whole time. So once I talked to some of them, they were like, and even a couple of professionals after that, because I've done a little bit of research on what type of treatment there are. So what happens, either it can be from trauma, it can be post-traumatic stress, or it can be abuse. And so it brought everything home for me because I was like, wow, this makes sense. When I had this surgery, this is why it took me longer to heal and not instantly. And with my foot, A lady told me one day when I was talking to her on the phone, she said, you can look at it as one or two ways. You can look at it as, you know, your body finally, nothing too traumatic happened, but this incident happened to bring you aware of how your body is in this state.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and it was a hard pillow to swallow because the pill was like giant, right? And I was like, I started looking back over my life and I was like, okay, that makes sense. That adds up. And that adds up. I just did not know what, how to treat my body. It's so sad, but it is what it is.
Okay. So now we can go back a little bit now. we've got a you know, a majority of that, of the whole situation of how this came to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, all right, you had the trauma from the apparatus hitting your foot. So mm-hmm. so that explains the trauma mm-hmm. and possible nerve damage there, mm-hmm. you know. And then I got, number one, what shoes were you wearing that your foot didn't break? Did you have one like steel-toed boots, or were you wearing flip-flops? Were you wearing Crocs? What were you?
Honey, I had on a pair of hiking boots because we worked in our hiking boots because the toe is, I don't know if it is still toe, but it's pretty like solid, you know, to protect your foot. And I mean, I had spent a couple of $100 on them. It wasn't like, you know, whatever.
Okay. Money well spent.
Right. At one point I thought, if only it had broken. This is so terrible to say.
Why? Would it have been better? At least they would have been able to tell you what it was.
Yes. Yes. And they still can't define for me today. I had a second MRI done with the podiatrist recently because I enforced it again as well. And he's like, oh, you have a Morton's neuroma and we can fix this and we can do surgery. And I was like, I'm not doing surgery because A, with CRPS, what happens when you have surgery is it can spread. It can, and it may not, but it's a risk I don't think I'm willing to take. Because when I had that spinal, oh my goodness, the spinal block done, let me just tell you, I woke up in pain around my hips. It took hours for it to calm down. And I lived with a headache nonstop for 30 days or better. And I went to the pain management who did it. And she was like, oh, you know, just give it some time. And I was like, there's no way. Like, how is someone supposed to even process or think? So I ended up doing a little bit more research. And I was like, you know what? I learned when I was networking with all these women back home, the body will heal itself. Mm-hmm. It just needs the proper tools to do so.
There you go. There you go.
Girl, I ended up in a functional medicine doctor's office. I ended up, because she was like, you need to go get some chiropractic work done because they need to realign your upper cervical area so that they can get your head screwed back on straight from having that done. And then I also started doing some acupuncture during that time as well, because I was like, I'm now taking supplements to kind of balance everything out. I'm taking stuff from my nerves. I'm taking stuff from my brain. I'm taking stuff for every aspect you can think of. And on top of it, being perimenopause, it is no fun.
Yes. Yes. I can only imagine. All right. I keep going back because I'm thinking, okay, we're glad you had the boot, like you said, good quality mm-hmm. boots on, so that way you didn't cause damage to your foot. But how long can your foot stay swollen, and was it creeping up your leg, you know, over time, or did it just stay in your foot and in your ankle? Because I'm just like, okay, when it swells, okay, they told you to keep your foot elevated above your head. Oh, what are you doing? You're not walking around holding your leg up, you know, hopping around. Oh.
So I laid in the bed majority, probably 90% of the time. I would only get up to go to the bathroom or fix myself something to eat because my husband was still working. So it's funny because I was in the post-op shoe. When I went to that second, like the second doctor, he put me in an ankle boot then. And so it would hurt when I walked on it, but I didn't know any better. I was like, I'm still walking. Like I can't let this keep me down.
You weren't walking on like a cane. You were just, did you have a cane or a crutch?
No.
You were just walking around with that heavy boot, which to me, I can only imagine if your foot is swollen and then it's in the boot, I'd be dragging. I'd be looking like Quasimodo. I'd be dragging my foot all
What's Well, my
happening?
husband, when he stopped working, like we were hanging out, and I said, "Listen, I need to get out of here." So we actually took a road trip up the mountain, saw some
Oh my goodness.
snow. And I'm out there. I wanted to go to another area. And so I was like, "We're going here." And he was like, "Are you sure you can handle this?" I'm like, "Listen, I've been cooped up in the camper for days on end. And at this point, I think it was like 6 weeks, maybe. And I was like, I need to get out. I need to see something. Like, I'm not going to allow this to stop my life." And so we went out, we walked it, and it would swell up and it would hurt, of course. But I just didn't know any better. They kept telling me it was soft tissue. So I was like, it's just the soft tissue.
And that's the thing too. I'm so glad that you're saying what you're saying about, I did a little more research, because it really, if we do not advocate for ourselves and we don't
Amen.
start taking those deeper dives into finding out what it is that's happening with us, we don't know what to ask. So when they tell us things like this, oh, it's just soft tissue, and you're just like, okay. And then you're going around, you don't know that you're causing more damage than good, and then, and first of all, I have a very low threshold for pain. So for you to even tell me that you had pain in your foot like that, and that you had a headache for a month, be trying to jump off of somebody's bridge, because I cannot imagine having that type of tolerance for pain, and then you're not subscribing anything for me. But kind of go back and forth on that, because for me, I don't want you to mask the pain. I want you to identify what it is so that we can stop it altogether. Because when they start giving you a whole bunch of pills and things like that, it's a band-aid for it, but I need to know what it is so that we can properly treat it. So I'm glad that you advocated enough for yourself to say, okay, wait a minute, something is still not right. Let me check into this. Let me get another opinion, or let me go to somebody else, because somebody has to be able to tell me something. When something happens to our body and then they say, oh, well, we can't diagnose it. What does that mean? What do you mean you can't diagnose it? Because it's pain is coming from somewhere. Something is wrong. And for you to say it's nothing, just go home and sit down on it. And the next thing you know, when it gets to a point where it's emergent, like you said, you're going to the emergency room. Suppose they were like, oh, you should have done this. We're going to have to amputate it.
And then what, right?
Right, then
Well,
what? They're not gonna be like, oops, my bad, we're gonna sew your foot back on. I mean, things like
let me
I'm
tell
so
you.
thankful.
So when I went to the podiatrist, he was like, I'm going to prescribe you. So now we bring out the needles because you're not, your foot's not healing. It's not this. Now we're going to bring out the needles, which was the steroids. And, I'm going to give you a new boot that goes to my knee. Now, let me just tell you about that. I'm going to break that down for you in just a second. And then he said, I'm going to give you a new antidepressant to try. And I was like, I lied to him. I took the antidepressant. Let me just tell you, I took it for a week. I cried at the drop of a hat. I cried because my body doesn't respond necessarily to pain medicine first place. I just have that opposite response. Like people can take pain medicine, be knocked out for hours. I can take it. It will knock me out for a little bit and I'm awake again. I'm like, well, that helped a little bit. Now what? I just have that type of body. So this antidepressant he gave me, and he's like, you need to keep taking it. And I was like, I'm not going to take it because how long am I going to be on this? Oh, until you get better. And I said, well, how long is it going to take me for me to get better? Oh, well, we're looking at 6 to 9 months. And I was like, from now? It's already been, at this point, it's already been like 3 months. And I'm like, what in the world is happening? Right. So he put me in this boot. So let me tell you, asked about the swelling. So the swelling pretty much stayed like in my foot, a little bit in my ankle. And I think the more, and I didn't know. And this is why I want to raise awareness because when you don't know, you don't know. So what they did is they with the post-op shoe, they pretty much made my foot to where it couldn't move to like prevent more damage. Which was whatever, it started hurting in that shoe. So when they put me in the boot, now that it's going up to my ankle, it's now isolating my ankle, which is causing the CRPS to go from my foot into my ankle. So when he put me in the boot to my knee, and then let me just let you know, if I was at home, I was trying not to wear it. because one of the doctors, the third orthopedic was like, I want to get you out of that boot as soon as possible. Well, when I went to the podiatrist, he's like, I want to get you out of that boot as soon as possible. But he also put me in another boot. Two sides of your mouth. I don't understand. Right. What are we doing? Right. So he put me into that. So guess what happened? CRPS started creeping into my calf. And so now, depending on the day, from my knee down, it swells. And I know because when I bend from my knee down, I feel so much tightness on the left side versus the right side.
Yes.
And I'm like, if you knew, and here's the other thing. Doctors do not know about CRPS. Not every doctor knows. Not every doctor believes that it can spread. Not every doctor knows enough about it to even know how to treat you. Because the podiatrist, I was like, so how long am I going to be in this? Oh, you're just going to. I want to get you out of that boot. I want to get you out of the boot. Well, I went to my physical therapist and he was like, Lydia, when do you go back to the doctor? And I was like, this day. He goes, well, I'm hoping he's going to get you out of the boot because you're making progress here at physical therapy. I go to the podiatrist and then I had my PT after and he said nothing about the boot. Him and I kind of got into it because I was like, I want to have a conversation. This is how he would treat me. Here's the pin. Mark where it hurts. Don't use your words. Mark where it hurts. And I was like, this is very egotistical. No, I'm not doing it. So this time I was by myself. I looked at him and I said, not until you have a conversation with me, because I have questions. And he said, you're not marking. And I said, and you're not talking. So the whole time, he never even asked about my foot. He never even really looked at my foot. Just tell me where it hurts. He would inject this needle, insert the medication into it as if I was a child. And then he didn't want to have a conversation with me. He never asked about my foot coming out of the boot. He never asked how my foot was. He never really examined my foot. He just inserted those needles and would leave it at that. I get to the PT and my physical therapist, he knew what I had been through. And he was like, so what do you say about the boot? And I said, nothing. And he's like, why does this man treat you like a child? And I said, because he can, I guess, because who treats a 49-year-old woman like she's under 10, right? So I had very much headbutting with him that went on. When he told me I had a Morton's neuroma, I was like, I'm not doing surgery. He got upset.
What is a Morton's neuroma?
Oh, so that is actually, so let's pretend this is my toes. Okay. So this is like your bone is here. So your nerves and veins and all run here, right? So the nerve, it actually is from inflammation and it can cause a little bit of discomfort and pressure and they want to go in and they would cut it open and clean it up.
Right. So it fills with fluid and you have to, like a seroma where you just have to drain it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not doing it. And he got upset and he pretty much fired me. You tell us where you want your paperwork to be sent, we'll send it. And I was like, thank you, but no thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It has been a journey.
I have so many questions. It's just like, wait a minute. You want to tell me, I'm trying to tell you where the pain is. You're trying to mask the pain. You're giving me antidepressants. And I'm telling you that it's a pain in my foot, but so are you telling me that it's something psychological, neurological, are they connecting the dots for you? Are they at least explaining to you why they're giving you the medication that they're giving you? It seems as I'm listening, it's just one referral after the other and nobody is giving you a solid answer. And had it not been for you going to research some of these things independently, you wouldn't have a clue what's going on. You probably were still. And how long ago was this? How long ago was this that this happened?
So it's October 4th is when my injury was.
Of last year.
Yes. Okay. In 2023. And then I got to Texas in November. And I want to say it was after Thanksgiving. No, maybe it was before. I want to say it was before Thanksgiving, maybe, that I went to the orthopedic. And then he was like, got me into pain management. I think it was the following week, and it was around December-ish. And then I finally got into the podiatrist in December as well. And then I had that nerve block done February 22nd.
So they were saying, so I know they were talking about, I mean, I know that, you know, the small amount of research that I've done on this, I know that they say that the pain can be chronic. Mm-hmm. And so I know that you said that the pain medication that they gave you didn't work, but when they started doing the injections, is that when you started feeling some relief
or temporary
relief, or was there just none?
So what happened was he gave me, I want to say about 4 or 5 shots the first visit. And he was like, I want to see you in 2 weeks. So I got home, the pain was still there, but it had like minimized.
Okay.
So in 2 weeks time, it started getting worse. So when I went to him in 2 weeks, he shot me up again. And the first day afterwards, it was terrible. Like, it was unbearable. I was like, this is terrible. I don't even know how to function. This is bad. So I went home and I'm laying back up on the bed because I'm like, it hurts to walk. Like, I'm trying to like figure out what's going on. And I don't even know how to treat it at this point, you know? So I went in for the second injections. It was laid up for another day. It got a little bit better. So for 2 weeks, it was still hurting. It's not like it would, and you can't really even do like a pain scale of 10 because there's no way. It's more like, is it manageable? Is it unmanageable? Can you walk around? Can you not? You know,
right?
Because at any given time, I would start crying, to be honest. But we ended up a third time in his office. And by the third time, it was like 3 weeks out. I want to see you in 3 weeks. And I was like, okay, well, what in the heck is going to happen in 3 weeks? So 2 weeks out, the pain would start amplifying again, and it would be more and more and more. And I thought, what in the world is really going on? Right. So then I went back to him 3 weeks later. He shot my foot up again, and I want to see you in a month. Well, it was 5 weeks at that point that I went back. And I was like, you know, the pain is like, it did it again. 2 weeks, it wasn't nearly as bad. And at this point, I had started working out because I was like, I have to keep my body moving.
Yes.
And everything I'm reading is like, you've got to keep it moving, even though it hurts.
It'll either atrophy, they said, mm-hmm. from lack of movement, or it'll start to tighten up because of inactivity.
Well, let me tell you what happened. Because they kept me in the boot so long, I developed tendonitis. I developed... all this is in my ankle. Okay. So not only is my muscle in my foot, it's atrophied by now. When I had my MRI, I think it was 3 weeks ago, it still revealed that my foot had atrophy in it. My PT was like, this is because you were in the boot so long.
Right.
They didn't get you out of it in time. And then I developed plantar fasciitis, which, to be honest with you, it's not even what it was before. It's like getting better. But there's all these other little things with my ankle that has happened as a result of being in it too long. But the thing is that, so if you don't know how to treat something, and the problem is that most doctors are so filled with ego that they don't want to listen to their patients. Fine. And they don't want to take in consideration the battle that they're up against.
Right.
And I think the only way it really saved me is because I would walk around in my house. Sometimes I would use the post-op shoe depending on how my foot was feeling, or I would be very gentle with my house shoe on trying to walk around. Otherwise, I would probably be stuck.
Right.
So
every couple of weeks going and getting shots and mm-hmm. things like that. Now, are they still looking to do the treatments with the shots? Is that something that's continuous?
Girl, no, ongoing? He fired me. I'm done with him.
Right. And then when did they finally take you out of the boot?
January 31st, physical therapist did.
Oh, okay. So it was a physical therapist who did, not the other doctor. Because
correct. He was like, I don't know if you have your shoe or not. I said, it's in my car. He's like, well, you ain't leaving in this place with that boot on. I'm taking you out. And I was like, okay. So I'm hobbling across the parking lot with no boot on, with no shoe on, just my sock. And he was like, so when I went back in, they were like, there were so many exercises that I've done and I've bought to like continue doing it. Wow. But yeah, it's, and so CRPS, there is no cure. There's no cure at all for it. There's only treatment. So either you go down and there are a sea, and I mean a sea. I felt like it was swimming in an ocean full of people in this group. I had joined a couple of groups doing some research.
Okay.
There are people who are suffering, and I mean suffering. And when I tell you, when I read some of the posts, I am on morphine, I'm on antidepressants, I'm on this. I mean, there's a long list of medication. There are so many people who stay with workers' comp because, and I'm talking 20 years. I didn't even know you could be on workers' comp for 20 years. And it's because they develop CRPS through their work injury. And what happens is they stay on it because they want to prove them right.
Right.
And so they're suffering. They're not getting the medical care they need. They're just throwing pills at them. And I hate to say this because back in the day, I don't feel like this is the way it was when we were growing up. But I feel like in today's society, they want to keep us sick. They want to keep us coming back for a pill because it's a paycheck for them.
Yeah.
And they're getting a kickback from pharmaceuticals.
That's it. That's it. And it's unfortunate, like you said, because they're trained to mask the pain and not treat what's causing it. I want to get to the root cause so that you don't have to keep giving me something to take for it. Show me how to stop it from happening. And like you said, if it's chronic pain, it's affecting your quality of life. So did this guy, you know, before the, you know, PT took you out of that boot, you know, would you still be hopping around with that boot now? Here it is almost 6 months later.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just like, right. And then it's like, where do you go from here? So let's go back a little bit because I want people to understand that, you know, complex regional pain syndrome can happen as a result of a trauma to a particular area. Most of the time it's in your legs or in your arms, according to the research that I've seen. It's not always directly on the part that was injured, but it can be on nerves surrounding that area, correct? Mm-hmm. And then, just like I said, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been checking this. I've been reading about it myself, because like I said, I wanted to get to know about it, and I want people to start to do their research and to do their homework or to see if that's something that they may be suffering from as well. One thing that you said that I definitely want to tap on is you said that you had other injuries in the past. And so sometimes it can be from, like you said, from trauma, or it could be from surgeries or other things like that. And we just don't know.
So when I was 33, I had a hysterectomy, and it was a vaginal hysterectomy. If you know anything about that, the recovery time was supposed to be a lot less. And it took me a long time to recover from it. It wasn't like, oh, in 2 weeks, you know, I had to only pick up 10 pounds for, I don't remember how long, for weeks at a time.
Right.
And then it was like, because what had happened is my uterus had prolapsed. So I had to have a rectocele done where they went back in and like rebuilt that area. And then I had my back pain that was hurting as well. So I went to my gyno one day and I said, you know, something's not right. Like I thought everything would be done by now. And he said, you know, I'm going to send you to physical therapy. And so he sent me to physical therapy, and I actually had to go to physical therapy for inside of my body, where the physical therapist would actually kind of relax the muscles to help them relax.
Wow.
And I actually had to go because I was having some back pain with it as well. So I went to a doctor. I ended up having a CAT scan done, all this stuff. And come to find out, like, I went to acupuncture during that time, and he was like, you know, I honestly think that it's more emotional because they don't know what they're looking at. Right. So more than likely it was muscular. It could have already been like, my nerves were probably already like very sensitive, if you will. So it took me longer to heal from it. It's one of those things that when you start looking over, like when you know and your eyes are opened, you can actually look back and go, it's because of these things leading up to this.
Right, because it's like you said, there the symptoms can be, like they said, it can be depression, headaches, like you were talking about. They talk about redness, swelling, tenderness. Another thing that they said muscle spasms. I was reading also decreased mobility, things like that. There are so many things that go along with it. Like you said, that so when they talk about depression, that's why they talk about antidepressants, because some of it can be mental, some of it can be psychological. Some of it, is actual, atrophy to the muscle, stiffening of the muscle. There were so many things. I was confused just researching it because
Well,
I was
let
like,
me.
there are a lot of things. Like, this is a whole lot. There are
It's.
a whole lot of sides of the spectrum. It was like, my muscles be atrophy and then be threatened. Ow! How is all this happening? So,
Well, I will
yes.
tell you sometimes, and I mean, it's only been recent. It's not even like I'm a year into it. Sometimes I'll be laying in bed, and all of a sudden, it's like the stabbing pain in my foot close to my ankle area. And I'm like, oh, what just happened? What just happened? Because that was uncalled for. You know
Right,
what I mean?
and so you don't even know what can trigger it. But
And
is it
I will.
still? But I'm sorry. Is it still
No, you're fine.
like a consistent pain? Is it a constant pain every day?
Yeah, so here is how typical day is. Okay, I will wake up. So either I will wake up to like a heaviness in my leg, or I will wake up and I'll be like, oh my God, it feels normal. I don't know if I want to get out of bed because within minutes it can change. So I can go from it, like this morning I woke up and it was a little heavy. Yesterday I had PT. And so sometimes PT will make it better or it will make it worse. So we just go with, is it an angry day or is it a happy day? You know? So I go from moments of like, I can be walking and I had to force myself when I started wearing a shoe. My tennis shoe again, I had to force myself. I'm like, we are going to walk normal. Like, I am not going to walk. Like, and when I go downstairs, I have to be mindful and tell myself, you're doing 2 feet at a time, a step. We have to walk down the step as normal. I have to stop myself on a regular basis just to make sure that I'm treating my leg and my foot as though it's like the same as my right. But yeah, there's days that I will wake up and it will be like, swelled, it will be red. Redness will come and go. It can swell up at any time. I can lay down on the sofa or the bed and, just put my foot up. And within seconds, the swelling can go down. It's one of those things that just doesn't have a rhyme or a reason. I will tell you this, this is going to blow your mind. So I stopped taking my CBD because I started taking CBD and some pain terpenes with, Green Compass, because I was like, I'm gonna see if I can help it because nothing else was helping. And it actually did. But I had stopped it because I was gonna go do this treatment in Florida because he was like, I don't want you on any type of medication. And let me tell you, when I had that nerve block done, I had the headache, it was terrible. But when I started like coming off of the CBD, so what happened is, I could lay in my bed and I could feel my nerves in my head, like almost jumping and pulsating. So I can feel that at different times. It's gotten better since I've started taking some of the natural stuff that I take, but it's like sometimes I can just lay there and it can just be pulsating. And it had me a nervous wreck. Like my emotions were not in check. I was talking to my son one day and I just started bawling and he's like, what just happened? And I was like, I don't think I'm depressed, but also it plays with your emotions because I have a
Absolutely.
book that I think everyone should, if they get complex regional pain syndrome, they should get it. It's called Why Are My Nerves So Sensitive? And it talks about how your brain goes from, so we have one part of our brain that will say, oh, we're in danger, we're in pain. So it rushes to like alert you and to care for it, right? So what happens in the brain is that you have a sector that actually says, okay, it's time to digest your food. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. Like we have all these different parts of our brain. What happens is that it calls different sectors of your brain to come in to help fight for that pain.
Right,
And so that's
right.
why everything else goes by the wayside. Like your digestion can go down the tubes, your emotions can go in the toilet. Like it's all over. It can spread. You can get more, you're more apt to get colds and stuff like that due to that.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so you said, this is something that, like you said, there is no cure for it. Mm-hmm. And so you have to find ways in which to manage it. Mm-hmm. So that way you have quality of life. Like you said, you are a nomad. You travel. You're constantly moving and constantly in motion. And that's beautiful, you know, but at the same time, you know, there are going to be times where you may be like, okay, I've got to put this foot up today. I'm experiencing swelling or redness and things like that. So what are some of the things that they're saying you'll have to do or any of the recommendations that they're giving you moving forward?
So your traditional medical doctors do not talk about these alternative medicines, okay, or alternative treatments, I should say. So I went to the functional medicine doctor, and she got me started on this super condensed fish oil. I'm on some stuff to feed my brain. I'm on some stuff for my nerves. I'm on some stuff for gut health. Like it's a whole little, I'm like a walking, talking little, you know, see if I'm taking this now. And I never took things before. And that's the downfall for CRPS. It can take a very active person and remove you from your activity to not being so active anymore. So the research I done, and because I dove into it, and I was asking, like, if you could, like, how do you get around not dealing with the doctors? And there's a very select few in that group. And one guy piped in and he said, Lydia, if I had to do it all over again 13 years ago, I would have settled with workers' comp and I would have came to Sparrow Clinic. And I was like, what is Sparrow Clinic? Right.
Right.
So then I met another guy in the group, and this guy called me actually on Facebook, and he was like through Messenger, and he's like, let me tell you. And so he's like super hyper and he's all over the place. And so him and I are talking, and he's spitting out information. So the whole time he's spitting out this information, I'm like trying to take notes, right? And my husband's listening. And so the functional medicine side of it, I got from him because he's at this clinic, they have this, so you can get ahead of the game, you know, da 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 da. And I was like, okay. So the non-traditional treatment, there is a thing called calamar scrambler therapy. So what it does is, and that can range from $2,000 to $4,000 for 2 weeks of 10 days of treatment. It is mind-blowing, okay?
Right.
So what that does is it pretty much goes into your nerves and it kind of like teases them and kind of scrambles things up, so that your body isn't thinking that you're in constant fight or flight mode.
Right.
So it kind of like diversifies it that way. And then you have to go back for treatment. Well, then this other one, the clinic that I was just telling you about, I called them and I actually spoke to a lady there. And she told me, this is going to blow your socks off. 14 weeks of treatment. We ask you to dedicate 14 weeks of treatment. Your treatment is from Monday through Friday or Monday through Thursday. It's 8 hours a day. They have therapists on site. They have physical therapists. They have chiropractors. They have functional doctors. They have all these things. That cost is $40,000. That's the base cost. And insurance does not cover this.
I was going to say, insurance does not even, they're not even looking at you.
But here's the thing. If someone has cancer, who covers it? Typically, insurance will help you cover some of it, right?
Right.
No, not with this. So this is so unique, and there's not enough research in it. Like, there's the Mayo Clinic that's done research. They do some treatments. I talked to another guy. There's an NMR, I believe is the abbreviation for it. It's actually a system you can purchase. You rent it. I talked to the gentleman who works for the company. He's like, it's $1,000 to rent a month. Yes. Yes. Or you can buy the machine and it's $20,000. And I was like, I wish I had $20,000 laying over here up under the rug.
Why? You know?
And so, no, And so that's why when you seen my post on Facebook, I was like, it is such there. According to something I read, there's about 200 people, 200,000, excuse me, 200,000 people that were diagnosed with this. There, I think that number is off because there are people who live in this situation for years and they never get properly diagnosed.
And because they don't have that much, so they just have to sit there and suffer in pain.
Well, that's why a lot of them are on morphine. A lot of them go get spinal cord stimulators. The
But then those things, you know, like you said, are addictive. They fail you. Opioids and things like that. You hear about things like that, and it's just.
So one of the ladies that I talked to, she's actually a PA. She is here in Texas, and I was thinking about going to her. But again, it's like $2,000-something for the treatment. And then you have to continue going. It's not like you just go one and done, right? And so for me, I'm like, if I get the machine, I would think it'd be better. But when I was talking to her, she said, Lydia, here's the thing is that, and she is a spinal, like she helps out with spinal surgeries, and she sees various patients weekly because that's just her profession. She said, the problem is when CRPS starts creeping into the body, that in the first couple of weeks, if you catch it just in time and you do one of the blocks on it, that it will cut it and the people will not have to live in pain. But how many doctors are aware of doing that? Not enough. Not enough.
Right.
Yeah. Girl, listen, like I told you earlier, And I'm very open and honest. Anybody can ask me anything and I tell them I don't have a problem. That's why I told my husband, I was like, looking at it, like if I had to, I'd go to the guy in Arizona and get treatment because he was one of the guys that used this particular machine that I'm talking about having it at home.
Right.
I told my husband, I said, we have one or two. I feel like I'm at a crossroads. I'm not doing traditional medicine. I am doing alternative to get my body healed the best way possible. I was torn about us going to Alaska to work for the summer.
Right.
Because I was like, do I want to spend my 50th birthday? I want to get well, but like, I don't know when we're going to have the money fully. So and even for me to continue on, you know what I mean? With treatments and everything. I said, so, you know, do we go? Or do we stay here? And there was probably three, maybe 4 weeks. I was driving him nuts because I was like, I guess I'm just not going to do what I wanted to do for my 50th. Like, we're just not going to be there. Like, we're going to be here. And I kind of was like weighing it. And then I said to him, I said, you know what? I want to live my life. I don't want to be sitting here waddling in this and trying to like find a way. I am going to continue doing my natural medicine. I am going to continue to, my son and my daughter got me for Mother's Day an early Mother's Day gift because we went ahead and celebrated Mother's Day while I'm here. It's called Apollo Neuro. I started wearing it. What it does is it activates your nerves and helps them calm it down. So instead of my body living in a flight or fight mode all the time, every day, all day, I've only started using it since Saturday, but it's actually helped my nerves to where they're not so like jolted, if you would, or, you know, but between the medication and this, I'm like, I mean, in September, I guess I'll figure out where to go from there. And if we go and we have to leave early, then we'll just have to leave early, you know, to get me somewhere. But in the meantime, like, how am I just supposed to sit down and just like wait for whatever, you know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, that's the, like you said, the biggest thing, you know, in all of this is that even as we're learning more about, you know, or gaining more awareness about this syndrome, it's just, you know, it's that constant fight. It's that constant support. You know, I love that you even thought to go and look for groups, because just like you said, you know, when you suffer in silence or you don't know what you don't know what to look for. But that's the beauty of being in this technological age that we're in now, that we can go online and type in something and find out that there are people that we can go to that can at least give us some possibilities or give us some suggestions or recommendations. And they're coming from the people that are suffering with it, and not always from the people who are supposed to be the ones who went to school but to learn about all of these things. And so, you know, it's just having that, you know, you don't want to be in that space of hopelessness. Like you said, you want to continue to have a quality of life. You are going to be celebrating your 50th birthday. You don't want to spend it with your leg up above your head. Like they said, well, at least not now.
Well, not like that. But I will tell you this, my physical therapist, he has been great. He's been a godsend. And I've told him I try to go two times a week. And he was like, you know, I remember, I want to say it was January-ish. He was like, why don't we do some lunges? And I looked at him and I said, I can't even move my toes. My toes, I couldn't, they were like this, and I couldn't like move them.
Your toes.
And my right foot, I can pop. And even before this happened, I could pop my toes like naturally. I was like, I can't even move my toes. He's like, wait, what? I said, I can't even move my toes. He said, hold on. I'm gonna get some marbles. And this is what we're doing today. You're picking up these marbles from
What
this
you
towel with your
talking?
toes and putting it in a bowl. And I was like, okay, we're doing it. But to do a lunge, like my foot, you know how your foot, when you go to do a lunge, it's like you step and it does this, right?
Yes.
Honey, I was like this, barely lifting my leg. I was like, I can't bend my toes. Like this whole area, like that part up under my toes,
Hey.
I just couldn't move it. And now yesterday I went and I had to do a lunge and I had to lift my leg up and lower it. Like every time I lifted the leg, I had to lower it. And so he was like, look at you go. And I was like, I can remember when I couldn't even do a lunge.
Okay. But it's amazing. Like you said, you have to have people who are willing, you know, to partner with you. You have to be your biggest advocate, and then you have to find people who are willing to partner with you. You know, like you said, he's a godsend. So, you know, it takes a team. Just like we talk about, it takes a village. It takes a team of
Oh,
people
honey, it
who are
does.
interested in your health, and you have to be willing to, you know, do a little bit of the legwork too. So, like you said, you've got the support group, you've got the support of your family, your husband, your son, people who are going to come in and understand that this is not something that, you know, that you have to suffer with alone. That it takes a team of people to help you to be able to go through this,
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
and for it to make sense and to figure out what's going to be the best, you know, resolution for you, you know, to be able to move on. And just because they say, oh, well, there's no cure for now. For now, we're not saying that that's going to be the end all, the be all. And, you know, I'm going to definitely have you come back on the show when you're talking about, look, Kim, I'm doing this. I'm doing cartwheels out there. I'm like, all right, do it, girl. You know,
Well,
do
Kim, that is one of my desires, honestly.
it.
I reached out to a foundation because the gentleman that I kind of made a connection with online, and we talked for several hours, you know, off and on. He was like, Lydia, reach out to this foundation. Let's get you some money raised for it. And I was like, okay, well, I will reach out to him. It took
Right.
forever to hear back from him because he is living in pain himself. So he has CRPS and he's developed something else and he's in constant pain. And so he's like, reach out to him and see what he says because he runs the foundation. I reached out to him, Kim. And this was the defining moment for me. Okay. This is when I went, it's not happening now. There's no way I can get together 40 grand right now. There's no way I can get together 20 grand right now. So this is why we're going to go and do it this way. So I reached out to him and I was like, I want to know about funding. How can I have a page, like have my page with you? And he was like, so here's the thing. If you're going to go to this clinic, then you need your $2,000 deposit. You need to go ahead and get your date on their books with your deposit. And then we will start the funding for you. But I can't guarantee you any corporate funding from his business at this time. And I was like, so I looked at my husband and I said, that's not even an option for me right now. There's no way that I can do that. And so that kind of like solidified it for me that I was like, okay, so this is the reason why I'm taking this route, because if I'm sitting in Texas or if I'm sitting in Alaska, it's the same, right? So this is the reason why I'm doing it this way. And my desire, this is what my true desire is for me to start a foundation to where I can raise money for others so that I can help them get the treatment they need. So it's not like if you're going to the $40,000 clinic, we can get you there, but you have to do this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That way it's not, and it's raising awareness. My God, there is breast cancer awareness. There is autism awareness. That you go down the line of all the awareness. There's a lot of it, but there's so many people who can afford $2,000, $4,000, or even $40,000, you know?
Right.
And why should you have to suffer?
Right. And it doesn't seem to have an age where it happens. It doesn't seem to happen to a particular class of people, age or people, nothing. So yeah, that awareness needs to be out there. And that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation. I'm glad that we, you know, are raising awareness for situations like this, because, you know, there are, and like you said, thousands of people, a sea of people. And here it is, I was today years old, just hearing about this. So you know what I'm saying? So it's necessary that, you know, like I said, I'm grateful for platforms like this. I'm grateful, you know, to have interactions with people, to be able to bring them here and say, okay, this is what's going on and this is the help that we need. So, you know, like I said, we can talk for days and days. But what we do want to do is just get, I want people to have an opportunity to be able to support you in your effort to help others, and also to help yourself to be able to, you know, get on the path to healing. So I want you to share that information, and then I'll have two more questions to ask you, and then we'll ride up out of here. So tell people how they can assist you. And I'll make sure that we put it in the post for the show.
So what I did was I have a blog about our travel. So after I did a little bit of research, trying different platforms, seeing about what they charge. Some of these platforms are like, oh, we don't charge you, you know, money. And then you get in there and they charge you an astronomical fee. I started it on my blog. So it comes through a, I think it's WP, but it's actually on Dennis Holler. It's DennisHoller.com. On my homepage, I actually have the donate, like you can click to go into there and it tells my story and you can donate it there and it comes directly to me. Because going through a third party, it's almost like you go in there and you don't really know what you're getting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
And I know a lot of people are like, I had someone reach out to me and they were like, Lydia, I don't want to send money through, because I had it on another account. And they were like, I don't like paying on there. Can I not just send it to you directly? And I was like, sure, you can. Like, and then I told my husband, I said, I'm just going to put it on our website. So that way people can go there and do it, you know?
Right. And then that way they can kind of follow along and see, you know, what's happening, like you said, in your now. So it's Dennis Holler, DennisHoller.com. And then just look for the donate button. And then that will tell the story. Awesome sauce. Okay. I've got two more questions for you before we go. Now, I always ask my guests, you know, how are you living in the now? How are you navigating in this space that you're in? You know, we've all gone through this pandemic. We've gone through, you know, post-pandemic, and people are just trying to figure out how to cope. What is the way that you're coping in the midst of all that's been happening over these last 6 months?
So I will tell you this. when the pandemic was happening, I did not know. I knew, but I didn't live in it because we were selling our home and our furniture and all our possessions. And we were looking for a camper. So we were so super busy trying to get into the lifestyle. We did not even, people would be like, did you hear about this? And I was like, why do I feel like we're living in a sci-fi movie? Like, it just seems so foreign to me. Now I will tell you this. God has always been my stronghold through every situation. And so now I'm going to tell you something really quick. And it made so much sense and it hit so hard for me. So on Palm Sunday, we went to church and the pastor here, he was preaching and he said, do you know why Jesus rode on a donkey through Jerusalem and not a horse? And I thought, that's an odd question. I've never heard a pastor ask that question. And he said, he had him ride, he came in on a donkey because he wanted you to know that you were going to live most of your life in the lows. And only when he comes back will he be on a horse as a knight in shining armor. And I thought, wow. And he said, because when you're in your lows, you are more dependent upon him and you call out to him more. And I thought that was like the most beautiful explanation I've ever heard. So I try to stay as, I've always been pretty positive. I do this little 5-minute positivity thing daily. I try to read my Bible. I try to daily. It doesn't happen, but I at least try to get at least 3 days a weekend. If I can get in more, I do, but I at least try to get three. I enjoy doing Bible studies that take me deeper into understanding. And I believe that for us to have that relationship, it's different than just having religion. Like having an understanding, being able to be closer. That's just how I live my life. Like, I know that everyone has a challenge and we all are brought different challenges. And there's a reason why we are. We have to go through those valleys to be able to help someone else.
That's right. That's right. I love that. I love that. You know, it's all about the relationship, like you said. And how we express that relationship comes in many forms and fashions. And that's why I asked that question, because everyone has a special way of coping with what's going on around them. And that, and like I said, my acronym for COPE is create our peaceful existence. What are we doing to create our peaceful existence? And for some of us, it's that, it's obtaining that closer relationship with source, with God, with a sovereign being, whatever it is that you call that person in your life or that being in your life, you know, it's establishing that relationship. So I love that you do that. Okay, now final question is there any final words that you want to leave with our listeners? Any words of encouragement for those who may be suffering with this syndrome or for, yes, anyone, you know, learning to advocate for themselves?
Listen to your body. It sounds very, I don't know, taboo, maybe a little strange, but really listen to what you need. Emotionally, sometimes we just dismiss ourselves. Sometimes we don't listen to our gut. Sometimes we do not take the time to really embrace and love ourselves. Sometimes we are the first to lay down and to criticize ourselves before someone else. It's easier to judge ourselves than it is to love ourselves. And if you can, the most important thing I believe that you should do is just embrace who you are. Love yourself, no matter what someone else tells you, no matter how you were raised. You can always arise above it and become more than what you were. You can be more than what your circumstances are.
That's right. That's right. We are more than conquerors. I absolutely love them. But Lydia, I thank you so much for taking time to sit down and share space with me and to talk about this syndrome and the symptoms and the possible treatments. And, you know, my prayer is that, you know, you'll come back and we'll be able to talk about what's happening, you know, 6 months from now or whenever, you know, to be able to talk about, what's going on and the progress that you made, and even to talk about, the creation of your foundation. It's going to happen because, you've already taken the steps. The path has already been set. You've been there. You understand it. And so, people are going to come. But I appreciate you taking time. I wish
Thank
you,
you.
continued success in all that you do, and hopefully in sending you as much healing energy as I can possibly send you.
Well, thank you for reaching out to me, Kim. I was so overjoyed when I got your message, and I am so happy that I was able to come on here with you. I feel so honored and,
Awesome,
just
awesome.
full of love. I feel it coming from you.
Well, hey, now you are officially part of the How Now family. So you're welcome back anytime you want to come back, because what's happening now may not be what's happening 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days,
For
two
sure.
weeks, 2 years from now. So you're always welcome back.
Oh,
Okay.
thank you.
All right. Now, that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.